only for that, you can pray for not only our missionaries, but the missionaries across the world that's really doing a thing. Pray for the men of God across America, around the world. Pray for the evangelists that are out preaching the truth and preaching the Word of God. Hey, we need a spiritual awakening. Somebody said the other day, as there's three or four people sitting there and we were talking, and they said, well, we need a revival. We need a revival. And I said, I don't care where it starts. I just wish one to get started. I'm not jealous, saints. Amen. I don't care. If we get a revival in America, I'll tell you right now, I'll get involved in it somewhere down the road if we get a real revival. Amen. I'm talking about revival. I'm not talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking about where we get on fire for God to stay there. Amen. I hadn't seen that in my days, for many years. Back in the early days, I've seen some of it, but not anymore. Amen. You pray tonight for the churches across the nation, that God might waken them up. We really have got into an apostate state. We've turned our minds and backs on God. Let's go to the book of Ephesians tonight. Ephesians. I was in the book of Ephesians this morning. I didn't get finished. I wanted to go to a different route. So we'll pick back up tonight and go a little bit different than what we were this morning. But I pray that God might help us. And I guess you probably think I'm going to the fifth chapter and say, finish where I said that I wasn't going this morning. And I'm not. I'm not going there. Matter of fact, we're going to the first chapter. First chapter is one of those chapters that many people misquote, they twist it, they turn it to make it read what their doctrine and what their beliefs are. But I'm one tonight that believe we ought to take the Word of God at face value and believe it just like God said it, not what we think about it. And I'm not having no, the Bible teaches me that the Scriptures are of no private interpretation. That means I have no right tonight to tell you what the Word of God says except what God says. So I have no intention tonight of stirring you wrong or telling you wrong. Amen. You said, have you ever preached error? Yes, I have. Amen. A few times, and I had to straighten that out. But I thought I was preaching the truth when I preached it. I have never, to my knowledge tonight, preached anything that I knew was wrong. When the Holy Spirit showed me it was right, what was right, I preached what is right. And there's a lot of things tonight I could tell you. It'd be dealsology. And sometimes I do give you some of that. I tell you about it. But tonight I want to preach the Word of God. That's my responsibility. That's my job. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1. Please stand. And we'll read tonight in chapter 1, and we'll start reading at verse number 3. Paul writing to the Ephesian believers, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You notice the theme here tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 3. Verse 4 said, according as he, who's that he tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Bible said in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And you can be seated. All the rest of it's good reading, but we'll stop right there. Father, give us wisdom and understanding to declare the truth. May we not say anything that needs not be said, but God, help us to say everything that you'd have us to say tonight. Guide our minds, give us wisdom and understanding that we might declare the whole counsel, not part of it. Not just what we think, but what you say. And I pray tonight we'll go out of this building with a greater understanding, greater knowledge, and a greater determination tonight to live right, to be right, to do right. Lord, to be what you'd have us to be in a sin-cursed world. Help us to be bright lights in a dark, dark world. Help us, Lord, to be, Lord, the mouthpiece for many people tonight that we come in contact with. Help us in a land of spiritual ignorance. That, Lord, we might shed the light and shine the light. And, Lord, reveal the truth and the light, God, tonight. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Give God the praise. Chapter 1, and I just have finished a little booklet, printed it out on Friday, on election and predestination. Now, that's not what I'm preaching on tonight. I'll touch it just a little. But there's so many people so mixed up, and they'll use chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, and that's not what we're going to be talking about. But I want to say tonight they'll use that. They'll use verse number 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And they'll use that and mistranslate. They'll misuse that. If you'll notice, behind the world word, or the behind the word world, is a what? Comma. That's not a period. If you read that tonight, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, you could get yourself a set of doctrines and beliefs tonight that will be far from the truth. If you just put a period there, and you say that God chose us before the foundation of the world. In other words, God chose us. We were His then, and He chose us. And if you're going to say He chose us, then there's some He did not choose. But that's not what this verse says. If you'll read all the verse tonight, it'll explain it to you. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, comma. Now He tells us why we are chosen. And then we're going to find out how. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. God said, what I've done is, you're mine, I've chosen you to be holy. God's chosen His people to be holy and without blame in a sin-cursed world. I've read my Bible several times. I keep reading my Bible, and I'm not bragging tonight. I haven't read it enough, and neither have you. But I have never found in the Word of God where God picked out somebody that He wanted to save and somebody He wanted to go to hell. I read in the Word of God where God said He was no respect of persons. He loves me just as much as He loves you, and He loves me as much as He loves anybody and everybody of the world. And if God picked me out and didn't pick you out, God would have showed some kind of respect if it was on my merits and on your merits. But if you'll read on down, you'll find out that we've been predestinated. Amen, that scares some folks to death. I used to get alarmed at chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. A lot of preachers are scared of it, but tonight I believe we've been predestinated. What's that mean, preacher? I believe tonight we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's own Son. Amen. Amen. You read on down below it and you'll find out some things, and I'm going to preach to you in a minute, show you what I'm talking about, and is what I preach tonight will kind of make all this other come together. But nowhere do you ever find that God has said, sir, you're going to hell, and ma'am, you're going to heaven, and sir, you're going to hell, and ma'am, you're going to heaven, and it don't make no difference what you do, you're going to go where I've told you. Nowhere do you find that in the Bible. God said, whosoever will, amen. And I believe He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. I read in my Bible that the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that, how many? All come to repentance. Amen. I read where the Lord Jesus Christ said he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. So he wants to save every man, woman, boy, and girl. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he did not die for a certain crowd. And listen, by the way, if he'd picked some to go to heaven and some to go to hell, that means he has just paid the price for some. Amen. Wouldn't you hate to know tonight that you was under the umbrella of God Almighty, that it might be one of your children tonight that God did not pick? And there's a good possibility that your child might go to hell simply because God has chosen that individual to go to hell. That's not the gospel I preach tonight. You said, preacher, I believe in election and predestination, and I say glory to God, I do too. But if you ever get to the place that you confuse what God knows and what God has always known, and you get away from the foreknowledge of God, you're going to mess up. I believe before God ever said to the world, let there be light, and there was light, I believe God already saw you coming up in your generation and in your time. And God knew whether you were going to believe on His Son or not. God knew whether you was going to reject the grace of God or not. God knew whether you was going to receive Him or reject Him. And God, before the mud seals of the world was ever laid, God knew whether you was going to heaven or hell. Amen. Therefore, God, if He didn't know that, He wouldn't know how big to make hell. Amen. He wouldn't know how to prepare for heaven. I believe God's in charge of everything. I believe there's going to be a marriage supper, and the saints of God are going to sit down at the marriage supper. He already knows how many chairs is going to have to be at the table if there's going to be a table. Amen. I believe tonight God knows if you're going to have a crown. He knows what size crown to put on your head. He knows who's going to get the crown already. I believe God knows all things. I believe He knows it all from the beginning. Now, I know that blows your little peanut brain, and it does mine too, but I want to say tonight, that's my God. That makes sense? Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Well, I want to get into the preaching that I come to preach on tonight. I'd stay on this little subject for a while. I get irritated at all this crowd. And I want to tell you something. Maybe a lot of churches don't know anything about what I've just preached. A lot of preachers don't even know. They won't preach it. They will not tell you. All right, I want you to go tonight to verse number 7. There's two words in this scripture that I want to notice out of the book of Ephesians. Those two words that I want to notice tonight are the first two words of this verse. In whom? You remember I said in verse number 3 a while ago that we find the Christ, and then I said in verse number 4, He, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about, and when we say in whom, we're talking about Jesus. Now He said in whom, and I want to get back into the same track that we was in this morning, the way I look at scriptures. Write down verse number 7, if you will, and out from it, write this little phrase, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Amen. You don't have to do it now, but when you get home, you can do it. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Now, in who? Who is that whom? In whom? It's Christ. We have redemption through His blood. That's Christ. Redemption, that means we've been redeemed. We've been paid for. We belong to Him. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. In whom we have redemption. I'm a redeemed individual. I've been bought back from the slavery of sin. I've been snatched as a firebrand out of the fire. I've been pulled out of the hands of Satan. I've been taken out of the family of the devil and been placed into the family of God, in whom we have redemption. I've been redeemed. That makes sense? Praise God. I may not look like much, but I've been redeemed. Some of you might think I still need it, but amen. But I'll tell you tonight, I've been redeemed. In Him in whom we have redemption. And then He tells us how we get that redemption. Through His blood. Not because He picked me out.
But because I trusted His blood and received His blood, amen, and it not only covered my sin, but it washed away my sin. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Amen. Somebody would say, without the choosing of God, you wouldn't have no salvation. It's through blood. I've been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not popular. It's not preached much. It's like that today. They talk about that blood-bought religion. But hey, I've been redeemed in whom I have redemption through His blood. Amen. Not only by His blood, but through His blood. Now, if you've seen that through His blood, secondly, write this other little phrase down, the part of that verse, the forgiveness of sins. In whom I have redemption through His blood. Not only in whom tonight I have redemption, but in whom I have the forgiveness of sin. My sin's gone. Amen. Like the little old fella, crazy. They thought he was crazy. He got saved and he go around a shouting and a praising God. And he said, glory to God, I've been redeemed. Glory to God, I've been redeemed. His family got tired of hearing it. They tried to shut him up and they put him down in the insane asylum. Amen. They thought he was crazy. They said, and he'd just shout. I mean, he'd read his Bible and shout. All they'd give him was his Bible, and he'd sit down there and read his Bible. And they'd hear him back there shout, and they'd get onto their nerves, and they'd go down and get, and they took his Bible away and give him an old encyclopedia. Amen. They said, now shout off with that if you can. And so after a while, he started shouting. Went back there to him and they said, what are you shouting about? He said, it says in this encyclopedia that the ocean's 6 miles deep or something. And he said, hey, God said He put my sins in the depths of the sea. And he said, I can't get over it. Amen. I've been washed in His blood. But I have the forgiveness of sin. My sins are gone. And then notice tonight, verse number 7, the other phrase of that verse, it said, according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Now, can you see tonight how we got chosen? Can you see tonight how we got in? Can you see tonight how we've been accepted in the beloved, as He says here in the next verse? I'll tell you tonight, it's through His blood, by the forgiveness of sin, and according to His riches of His grace. Do you know tonight that Christ is rich in grace? All right, I've got to go on because I ain't got time to preach all this tonight. Look at verse 11. I'm preaching on in whom right now. In verse 11 it said, in whom also we have what? Obtained an inheritance. Amen. The will be read one of these days. I've never had much in this life. I don't need much in this life and don't want much in this life. And all I need and all I want, and God knows I'm telling you the truth tonight, all I want is just enough to get me through this rotten world. This place is not my home. Amen. I see these people. A lady is pushing a buggy. Two nights ago, I was sitting there watching her come out of Walmart, and I never seen it like it. So many people buying tents. And I said, I don't understand this. I never have figured out why one of them little rug rats, your kids, want to put a tent in the backyard and sleep in it. I never wanted to do that. But there's a pushing the buggy with tents in it, a rolled up tent. I went to a place one time, we was taking some boys to camp, and I think I told this before. And we was going to take the boys to camping of the church. And my boys assured me that they'd make sure we had a tent. And I'm riding down a little old Toyota pickup with one of them. And it dawned on me, I done looked in the back and there was no tent in the back. And I said to him, I said, I thought you was going to bring a tent. He said, I brought one. I said, where is it? He said, it's behind the seat. And it dawned on me that anything you put behind the seat's not going to be very comfortable to sleep in. And we got over there and they drove up the stakes and they said, it's a 3-man tent. They must have been midgets. When they put that little tent out there, it looked like a little dome thing. It looked like it sat on the top of Sputnik. And I said, what is this? He said, that's the tent. And I said to myself, it's a one sleeper and I'm the one. And I slipped in that thing and tried to stretch out, and I did, it bulged on whichever end, either my head or my feet. And they'd come around and tap my feet or tap my head. And I said to myself, that's the last time, that's the only time, no one other time I had a tent. Daddy used to buy coal in a tow sack. You know what a tow sack is? Some of y'all new fandangle youngins don't know what a tow sack is. But we had a tow sack, and I'd ravel them out and make a big piece of it, and I'd take them and sew them together. And we got out there and made us a tent. And the grass is kind of high, and it wasn't really in the summertime. It was in the wintertime, and it was cold. And I'm laying in that thing, and I decide that the best thing us to do is get us a heater. You always have to have a heater. And I got me a little gallon can, and I'd pull grass and leaves and stuff and put them down in that little tent on the inside. And I kept poking them in there, and the next thing I'm going to sleep. It got warm. I'm going to sleep, and the next thing I know is they was pulling me out of that thing with my feet, and it had caught on fire. Now, that's my only two experiences with a tent. But I seen that tonight. Or the other night, and that woman was taken out, and another come down, and they had tents, and I said, Lord have mercy, tents! I'm a pilgrim and a stranger headed out of this world, but I'm not going to a place where I'm going to have to dwell in a tent. I got an inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away. In Him, I got myself an inheritance. Amen, you with me? In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I'm predestinated to a place called glory. Why? Because I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hear me? Amen. And I give God the praise and the glory according to the riches of His grace. Look at verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Does this sound like God picked it out? Does it sound like God give us the opportunity to receive Him or reject Him? Did you know tonight God made you a free moral agent? God don't even make you, after you're saved, live right. Amen. I used to think that's what God wanted the preacher to do, make you live right. And I beat him on the head, slapped him around here and there, kicked him here and there. Amen. And I found out when you start picking at God's people like that, they go picking back. So I got kicked a few times myself. Amen. You know what I do? I preach tonight for you to live right. I pray tonight for you to live right. I study tonight and ask God to show me something, help me to help you to live right. But I know tonight I can't make you live right. And when you don't live right, it burdens my heart and breaks my heart. And then God reminds me that how many times I've broken His heart when I did not live right and did not walk right and did not talk right. And God does not make me live right, but He will help me to pay the price if I don't. Is that right? Now, I want to ask you one little simple, serious question tonight. This is a little simple question. This is to all you tonight that have had children. I said, have had children. If you never had children, you ain't got no dog in this fight, so just don't answer the question. Hear me? How many of you tonight that have had children and did have never gotten aggravated or upset because they did not do right? How many can raise your hand tonight and say, glory to God, my kids have always done right? Yeah, that was what I thought. Now, what makes you think tonight if you can't make your kids live right and do right? Amen. Why would God tonight be any different? Now, He can make you live right. God can make you live right. But God has made you a free moral agent. God said, if you'll follow me, you'll obey me, you'll live for me, you're going to be blessed. I'll put the blessings on you. I'll heap up your heart and I'll run it over and you'll be overly abundantly blessed. But God said, if you don't want to, I can cut it short. I can drain the pot. Amen. I can give you T-bone steak or I can give you 3 pinto beans. Which one you want? God said, I can add blessings to your life. I can add health to your life or I can take your health away. A lot of people don't believe that. Amen. You ever wonder why somebody 95 years old can still touch their toes? God give them health. Amen. And God can take your health away, saints. But I'm reading out of the scriptures. He said, in whom ye also trusted. We trusted Him. We trusted Him. After what? When did we trust Him? After we heard. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we get saved after we hear the truth and obey the truth. He said, the gospel of your salvation. Then notice again in this same scripture, in this same verse, it said, in whom? There it is again, you see it? Also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Does that look like God has picked you out? Or does it look like tonight that you believed, and when you believed, then He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. When did you get sealed? Before the mud seals was ever laid? Now God knew in the foreknowledge of God. No, God saves you when you called upon Him. But God knew you was going to do that. But God didn't ironclad it. Now see, we got doctrines like that. It's tough. All right? Now, let's look at another verse. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 21. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:21. Let's go back up to verse 19 first. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and no more foreigners. Amen. You're not a stranger anymore. You're not a foreigner anymore. But He said, you are fellow citizens. He said, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. They don't know me in China, but they know me in glory. God knows it. Amen. At least He does. But we are fellow citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens together and of the household of God. And we are of the household. Amen. This is a family. You hear us talk about a family. Our church is a family. And that's what we are. He said, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. You've got to have a chief cornerstone. You've got to have a cornerstone to start with. So picture that in your mind, the chief cornerstone in verse number 21, in whom? In whom? Who is that? The chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We are built into the chief cornerstone tonight. Amen. You may be way down the line down yonder, but you're attached to the cornerstone. That's the starting place. Then verse 22 said, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So it's in Him, in whom. Now one more, chapter 3 and verse 12. The Bible said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We have boldness and confidence. Amen. I can come boldly to the throne of grace, find help in a time. I can be bold in being a Christian and a child of God. I don't have to go around saying, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I've been saved. Amen. I'd say I'm born again. I'm heaven bound. I've been washed in the blood. I'm His. He's mine. Amen. I have the boldness and the access with confidence by faith. Now, how did I get it? How did I get that? By faith in... Amen. Notice what it said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now, that's something right there you, if you're not careful, you'll overlook. You said, preacher, I believed. Can I ask you tonight, who gave you the faith to believe? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He gave me the faith. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He gave me the faith. So it's not my faith. Amen. You said, I earned it. No, you didn't. You said, I mustered it up. No, you didn't. God gave you the faith to believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means He'll give you the faith to believe. All right? Picture this in your mind. We're all wanderers. And I'm not talking about question marks wandering. We're wanderers. We wander around, not knowing where we're going sometimes. We are murmurers like the Israelites. We are gripers. We're grumblers. We're complainers. We're doubters. We're criticizers. But we're pilgrims and strangers headed out of here. And I want to get to the place where I live right. Now the only way you can do that tonight, and I'm going to give you this, because I'm not going to preach it, but I'm going to give it to you. You've got to get the flesh under control. You know who you have trouble with tonight? You said, my wife. You husbands do. You said, who do you have trouble? You said, my husband. Who do you have trouble with? My kids. Who do you have trouble? The job. The little fellow said, my brother. Who do you have trouble with? That you live in. You'll have more trouble, your flesh, than anything in the world. Now, let me give you some challenges tonight. This will make a good sermon, and you'll just have to forgive me if I come back and preach it all. I ain't got time tonight. Ain't you glad I get shut down on some of it? First of all, the Bible teaches us that we're not to live after the flesh. Let's look at these scriptures. All I'm going to do is read them and go. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Let's look at them. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 12. I'll read these and then we'll go on to tell you what you have to do with the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse number 12 said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're not to live after the flesh, number one. Number two, I want you to go tonight to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse number 14. Romans 13, 14 said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. This flesh is rotten to the core. Number three, go to Galatians chapter 5. Take them in order through the New Testament. I'm skipping a few good places, but I'm giving you enough to get you in trouble. Galatians 5:24. The Bible said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So I say tonight we need to crucify the flesh. I will add this one thing to this one. How many of you know what crucifixion is? They crucified the Lord, by the way. I've always taught it to drove the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. Now some folks come along and they say, well, they tied him to the cross. But I got scripture saying that those Jews one of these days are going to see the scars in his hands and his feet and say, where'd you get them? So I believe they drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Now to crucify self tonight, amen. How many of you have crucified self? I'm not going to make you present yourself. But the next time you try to crucify self, would you call me? You may lay down on the cross. You may get one nail and somehow stick it up with buffalo glue or something and then hit it one time and drive it in. But once you get that hand drove to the cross, how are you going to get the next to know? Somebody's going to have to help you crucify self. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And we need to crucify self. Need to crucify flesh. I'll just give you that. I would say some more, but you go home and chew on that. And you can't sleep tonight. Think on it. Number four. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We are to sow to the Spirit and never sow to the flesh, or you'll reap corruption. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Bless God. I can handle it. No, you can't. Put no confidence in the flesh. There's a woman come to my house when I was living in the pastorium, and she called me and she said, I need to speak to you, preacher. I said, come on over. She said, can I come over now? I said, come right on over to my house. And she came over. She knocked on the door. She had a problem with her husband. And I know for sure that her husband had problems with her. So she done told me she climbed up on the coffee table and told him what she thought. Any woman climb up on the coffee table has got to be a problem. She come over to see me. And she knocked on the door and I said, come on in. I told her to bring her Bible. She had her Bible in her hand. She said, all right, come. I said, come on in. She said, oh no, I want to go out to the fellowship hall. I said, well, that's fine. Honey, come on, let's go. I talked to my wife, come on. She said, oh no, no, I don't want to go out to the fellowship hall with her. I just wanted me and you. You're my pastor. I said, well, you get a package. She said, well, I said, it, take it or leave it. And so we went out and had a fellowship. I was at that same church and a previous time, and I got in my car. And there's a note on my car and said, I'm going to be home tomorrow. Come by and see me, but don't bring your wife. You said, what'd you do? Throw the trash away. Amen. He said, put no confidence in the flesh. I see these preachers said, I can handle it. You can't handle it. Don't put yourself in a position. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You leave them fleshly lust alone. You feed them and you'll get in trouble. And then Jude. Jude only has one chapter. But in verse number 23, look what he said. and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We're to keep ourselves unspotted. We're not to give in to the flesh. Do you want to serve God? Take heed with the word. Heads bowed. I want to walk with, talk with God and live the way God wants me to live. And I want to be very careful about how I present myself before a rotten world. Amen. The devil will lie on you the best you can do. But the best thing to do is not put yourself in a predicament that brings any doubt. I pray tonight that God has spoken to you about something. I pray tonight that God has tried to help you, and I pray tonight that you'll listen to Him. I pray tonight that you'll let the Lord Jesus have full control of your heart and sway in your soul. Would you stand? And while they're playing, search your heart, examine your heart. Try and see tonight. Try yourself and see if you're where God wants you to be or not. Are you walking as God wants you to walk, talking like God wants you to talk, living like God wants you to live? Are you what God wants you to be in a sin-cursed world? This world is rotten to the core. The devil hates the saints of God. The devil hates the Word of God. God tonight loves you, but the devil hates you. And you need tonight to make up your mind for the rest of the trail that you're going to do what God wants you to do. You're not going to let the devil hoodwink you, nor deceive you, or destroy you tonight.